The new book. Yes. Now, you do Playing with Fire, and that was really the one where you kind of had to take that leap of I'm going to share my story.
Yes.
It's been with me. It's been dogging me. It's been a big part of keeping me down in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So it's going. This is in a way it's therapeutic, and you want to get that story out. We both actually just read Clint Malarchuk's book about his deal with depression and OCD and alcohol and all of that, and how, you know, he had tried to kill himself.
Yep.
And he said when he was in here, he said this doing this book was the hardest thing. He said he hated every minute of it.
Okay.
For you to revisit this in greater detail again, how would you describe the experience?
One of the best experiences of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I wish Kim was here because she is probably one of the most incredible, bright, smart friends that I have in my life. And through the process of writing this book, I've made even more leaps and bounds and really got to the core of why, I felt the way that I did, when you look at, because I'd focused everything on the sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing to do with that. You know, it had everything to do with, where I grew up and what I saw. And, both my parents, God bless them, gone through their own struggles. And, so there's a lot of chaos, a lot of, things that a young boy shouldn't have to see and have to deal with. So, we really took a real hard look at all that stuff. And from there, I could start to even heal more than what I'd already had, in that first book.
It's an interesting thing. And again, just kind of the comparable between your experiences and what it's fresh in my mind because we just read it this weekend, childhood trauma. When we were kids, if you went through something catastrophic, there was never even a thought, well, you need to go to therapy. You should meet with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start to deal with this so that you heal correctly.
Right.
That it just never happened.
No.
And it can, fester and grow. And then it's tough for kids because they almost don't stand a chance sometimes.
Exactly. But, look at how far we've come, we know so much more about brain.
Yeah.
We know so much more about chemistry. And that's, one thing that Kim brought to the table that had never been presented to me before was, this whole, brain chemistry thing. Your brain chemistry is different. My brain chemistry, which is different than yours.
Yeah.
And, because my mom was depressed while I was in the womb and she was taking a synthetic drug to deal with her her depression, it shut off my dopamine receptors, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, I come out of the womb, I'm depressed, I'm shy, I'm scared, because I can't produce dopamine. I can't level my brain chemistry off, right? But when I started playing hockey and I'm on the ice, it's pure dopamine.
Yeah.
Right? So as the story goes, the end of the story is, like the scene in the end of Scarface where he's got his head buried in a mound of cocaine. Well, that was me too.
Yeah.
But what I realize is that cocaine is pure dopamine, right? So as I'm partying with all my buddies and they're all tweaking and biting their faces off and talking 3,000 miles an hour, I'm as calm can be.
Because you're leveled out.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I spent my whole entire life trying to level myself off with the use of whatever it was. And once I found, cocaine, I was fine.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing that, ever since I've been on this journey, I've just learned so much, not only from the therapy process, but people coming up and, telling me their stories. Like last week I was in Langley, BC, and this lady came up to the autograph table and she put this picture on the table. And I was like, looking at her, looking at the picture and like, there's no similarities. And she said, 5 years ago I was suicidal, ready to kill myself. And she said your book came out and I read it and I lost 160 pounds and changed my life. You know?
It's amazing, right?
And, you know, even the last time I was on with you.
Yeah, we called you that day.
Yeah. And some guy sent a message on Twitter that, you know, changed his life, saved his life. So
I think that was the day. It wasn't when Robin Williams. Yes, I think that's what it was. When Robin Williams, who, of course, was, you know, obviously just fraught with depression and things, took his own life. And I said it really affected me. If that guy, who seemed to be just an outwardly happy, joyous guy, mm-hmm. could be taken down by depression and like you say, brain chemistry, then what are the rest of us?
Yeah.
How do we stand a chance? Mm-hmm. And we brought you on that day and you shared that text with me and it's what this is all about. It's therapy for you, but it's obviously, I'm guessing it's a lot about trying to help some other people, right?
That is the key to all of this, you know, because, you know, helping is healing and it changes your brain chemistry when you help people, you know, it's as simple as that. And, you know, I chose to go through this very publicly, you know, was heavily criticized, you know, when Playing with Fire came out and, you know, a lot of judgment going on and a lot of pointing fingers and whatnot. But you know what? The case of, you know, if I'm pointing a finger at you, there's three pointing right back at me.
Right.
Right. Or if I have to compare my life to your life to make myself feel better, then I'm one sick SOB and, you know, I need help. Right. And at the end of the day, you know, trauma is the biggest epidemic on the planet, you know, and we need to start having more conversations. Obviously, you know, it's Movember and I'm growing this very awful mustache.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
But
too hard in stating it.
Yeah, come on.
It's actually the first one I've ever been able to grow in my life.
Yeah,
so, don't do it
again. So you're getting to be a better person.
Yeah. But
please don't.
I used to say you can't grow hair on steel.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially for guys, you know, and incredible courage by Clint to come out and talk about his experiences. We need more of that. We need more conversations like that. And because as guys, we stuff our feelings. We don't talk about them. You know, we either drink them away or snort them away or, you know, get into relationships that we shouldn't be in, you know, et cetera, to mask, you know, hiding our feelings.
Yeah.
You know, when it's as simple as saying, you know, I don't need you to say anything other than just listen.
And I think it's getting better, but I still think it's such a small percentage of males that maybe appreciate that there's something not quite right, but there's no bloody way I'm going to go sit in a therapist's office or a psychiatry office or that.
You got to be ready to ask for that help.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing. You can't help somebody who doesn't want help, right? You know, and through conversation with the rattlesnake, we sort of teach people how to start to have these kind of conversations, you know?
Can like you give us just a little bit of, because we know what Playing with Fire was.
This is a completely
this is different,
opposite book. You know, you know, Kim and I are friends first, but she obviously has a background in therapy and I have a background in my experience, life experiences. And, you know, we have a therapeutic conversation, but it's more of a therapeutic friendship than anything else. So, you know, whoever your best buddy in the world is, I'm sure you've shared things with him that, you know, it's pretty vulnerable, pretty, you know, not stuff that you're going to talk about openly in public. Right. But this is, you know, an inside 2.5 year conversation where I am working through a lot of my issues that I've had, you know, for many, many years.
This would ordinarily be the highly confidential stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
That a therapist would never share with anyone.
Yep.
And you've decided to take those, like you say, conversations, those notes, and share them with other people.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be astounding how many people relate to
what you've done. And it's, you know, the book's been out for a couple of weeks already, and, you know, the emails are already pouring in. Oh, man, you know, I didn't realize this, or you know, I'm inspired again or whatever it is. And it was a fun project. And, you know, like I said, Kim is, you know, she's in India right now teaching at a leper colony and helping kids who have, cerebral palsy. So She's just, you know, incredible person and, you know, someone who I call, you know, incredible friend. And, you know, we had a lot of fun, you know, doing this, and we met in Winnipeg. So she's a Winnipegger.
There you go.
And, you know, we just hit it off like instantly.
The book is called Conversations with a Rattlesnake. And I told you that day that we had you on the phone that whenever we get into these conversations, they resonate so strongly with our listeners, predominantly male audience,
mm-hmm.
in 25 to 54 years of age.
Yep.
And yeah, guys are, you know, especially here in Alberta, we're tough, we're strong, we're not weak. You know, if I can't have because it's weak.
But it's not about that.
I know.
You can still be, you know, I'm still Theo Fleury,
yeah.
The guy that, you know, that fought Ken Baumgartner in his first year in the NHL. I'm still that guy, but I don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't play hockey anymore. You know, I live in the real world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't need to, you know, come in here and challenge you to a fist fight, Boomer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
and,
you know,
and the other comparable is if you had a liver condition and you needed to take medication to balance that out, or maybe it was something with your kidneys or a different organ, there's no embarrassment in that.
Exactly.
But which is why these projects are so important. So if it's a brain chemistry thing, mm-hmm. it's no different.
Yeah.
And I hope we keep getting closer. And I said to you that day, the text line, it just pours in. People that mm-hmm. have sat in their car waiting outside their work before they go in because they want to hear the rest of the conversation,
of course. Yeah.
And just the anonymous stuff that comes mm-hmm. in. And it's already coming in.
Well, and you know, we weren't put on this earth to be alone. Right, we were put on this earth to connect with people, to have relationships with people. So, you know, that includes guys. You mm-hmm. know, guys need to, you know, to have that, and you don't have to suffer in silence.
Yeah,
and it doesn't mean you're weak. It actually means the opposite. That you have courage and strength and all those things. If you reach out and ask for help, and you don't have to live in pain. And that was it for me. I was so sick and tired of living in emotional pain. That it was the catalyst to say, enough's enough. Like, enough's enough.
Yeah. And sadly, some people don't get there.
Right. Of course. And it is sad because if we as a society made it more acceptable for people to talk about this stuff, then maybe we're going to save lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I get out of bed every morning is to, you know, see the picture and see the change. And, you know, what's been amazing is that, you know, the people that I saw, when I wrote Playing with Fire at the book signings are the same people that are coming, you know, for Conversations with a Rattlesnake and saying, you know, how much the first book has helped them. And, you know, how much forward they're looking to reading this book too. So
when you look back at some of the experiences that you've had, whether it's hockey, wealth, family, personal life, you like to be at a point, I would guess, where it's like, you know what, good or bad, I've got no regrets. Mm-hmm. Is that where you're at, or do you still look back and there's some things like, man, I know where I was at in my mental state. There was no option for me. I really, mm-hmm. it was not a conscious thing. It was just the way it happened, and where I was at, there was no way I could change it.
Right.
Are there some regrets? Even still, do you look back and it's like, man, that one really, that or that one or two thing, that really haunts me. The rest of the stuff I can get past, right. But
I would say that I think about certain things.
Yeah.
But I don't have any regrets because, you know, on a spiritual level, you know, I was supposed to go through all those things because I needed to learn something that would help somebody down the road someday. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, from, you know, the first guy in Toronto in 2009, whatever date that was, they came up to that table and put that book on the table and looked me in the eye and said, me too.
Yeah.
That's when I knew that, you know, I was done with hockey. I really was done with hockey and that this is, you know, what I was meant to do and what I was supposed to be doing. And, you know, I look at my childhood, I look at the sexual abuse, I look at, you know, everything that I've gone through, I look at it as a gift. because without that gift, I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. And, so, you know, I feel very blessed and very fortunate. I'm disappointed that I hurt some people along the way, but I have opportunities to make amends and say I'm sorry. And, you know, just try to live my life the way that I've been living it the last 5 or 6 years, you know. We are human beings, and we make mistakes. And if we learn from our mistakes, then they were good lessons.
Yeah. The people that we hear, like I say, just to kind of repeat myself, but the people that will come through in the text line, that when they hear stuff like that, that it can be better than this.
Mm-hmm.
The way it is, as awful as it doesn't have to be that way.
No.
It can change, and with help, it would change.
Yeah.
Sick, not weak.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's right?
Or you're only as sick as your secrets.
Yeah.
Right? And once they're not secrets and they're out there, you know, you can start that path. And, you know, there's, you know, sick, not weak is Michael Landsberg, you know, and
yeah.
What a great job he's done. Sheldon's done an amazing job, you know, and you know, Clint's out there now. We got another guy on board, you know,
sure.
So it's nice to see, because it's exhausting out there, you know, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's lonely out there, but, you know, I realize that we need to keep talking about it and don't let it fade away. And,
yeah.
You know, because the media, you know, we're a day-to-day media now. Nothing stays for more than 30 seconds in the news. And so, you know, we always got to be talking about it. And that's why you guys see me all the time doing whatever I'm doing and taking full advantage of social media to get the message out there. And, you know, it's helping people, and I'm seeing a change. It's slow, but, you know, it's definitely happening.
You've been doing books. Because I've been following you. I follow you on Twitter, and I knew you were coming in. So I've been, okay, you're slowly working your way. Tons of book signings. What do you got coming up? And have you done the stuff here in Calgary yet, or is it coming up?
I have a signing tonight at the Chapters in Crowfoot from 5 to 7. And then a couple of Costco's tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure which ones they are, but you can go to conversationrattlesnake.com to get the times and location. So
good for you, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been good, and I'm happy that I got to spend your 40th birthday with you.
Hey,
you
know? Hey,
what a perk! Hey?
And you
didn't
know,
even dig into the ribs.
We're gonna have some beef ribs,
get some barbecue,
some wonton meats.
That stuff will kill you eventually. You know? Yeah.
Thanks for dropping by.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
You bet.